Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
All these guys who run these organizations who talk about analytics, they have one thing in common. They're a bunch of guys who ain't never played the game, and they never got the girls in high school, and they just want to get the game.
Welcome to VSiN's Hardwood Handicappers.
As you guys look at me, you see the backwards hat, the gray socks, the funky outfit, and you say, now this guy's a chump, am I right?
No, f***ing geek.
Now here's your host, Jonathan Von Tobel.
What's up, folks? Yeah, live edition of Hardwood Handicapper, special edition on this Sunday, live from the NBA Summer League at the Thomas and Mack Center. A fantastic day of NBA action in this showcase. We had a lot going on already in the first two games. We had a really good show on tap for you today. Coming up in 15 minutes, we're going to talk with your own Weitzman, NBA writer, Fox Sports, talk a little bit about everything and touch on some of the aspects of James Harden opting out and some of the different ways to look at that, on top of Tom Byrne joining us at the bottom of the hour at 3:45 p.m. Pacific time. But let's start with the action that's taking place today, because it's actually been a really fun day worth of games. We got a couple that are underway. The first two, though, are in the books. Brooklyn Nets getting 91-84 win over the Philadelphia 76ers here at the Thomas and Mack Center. And worth pointing out a couple of things from some of these games. Now, a couple of these guys, right, they're established players. In fact, there's reports out there that a Cam Thomas, who had another good game today from a scoring standpoint, not too efficient. 26 points, but 5-17 from the floor, 7 assists, maybe out there, rumors, that he could be worth a first-round pick that some teams have been calling the Brooklyn Nets, but a good performance from Brooklyn. I would say some spots having them as the highest rated team coming into this NBA Summer League, but the Brooklyn Nets get another victory here over the Philadelphia 76ers. And also the other game, this was a really good one, Pacers and Kings. Kings have a double-digit lead. Pacers come storming back, take a late lead, but Keegan Murray and the Sacramento Kings get their first win here at the Vegas Summer League. Both teams drop to 1-1. Murray, the story, Murray looked really comfortable. He continues to look comfortable in these Summer League games, both, of course, here and the ones they played. I think it was Salt Lake. But 23 points, 7-16 from the floor, late three from Keegan Murray. That pretty much puts the Kings on top for good. But Benedict Mathurin as well for Indiana. And this is going to matter. We're going to get into the rookie of the year market and how these odds have shifted as the Summer League has gone along and some of the winners early on from the Summer League. Benedict Mathurin is a really good 15 points, 6-16 from the floor, 1-4 from three-point range, but two comfortable games for him. And you really like, I think, some of the pieces that the Indiana Pacers have overall. Andrew Nembhard, been super impressed with him again today. 13 points, 5-9, 5 rebounds, and 3 assists in that game for the Indiana Pacers. Two games that are underway right now, Wizards and Suns going at it. Bulls and Knicks currently about to reach a halftime with about 1:11 left to go. Big game later today, though, and this is what really worth hitting on, because the world is going to see James. We're going to see James Wiseman for the first time in a while, as the Golden State Warriors and San Antonio Spurs will meet at 4:30 p.m. Pacific time. That's the story of that one, as we're looking forward to see what Wiseman looks like. And we assume it's some limited minutes. And Moses Moody went hard in their loss to New York. Of course, 34 4 points, 8 of 13, 3 of 7, 3-point range. Kuminga, highlight dunk in that one, but overall 2 of 10. So we get to see the Warriors, who a lot of people had a big expectations for, and really a lot of eyes are going to be on what one James Wiseman looks like. But some of the big stories, as we've kind of seen up to this point in the NBA Summer League, I think you begin and end with Paolo Banchero to the Summer League by storm through two games. 20 points on 58.3% shooting, 5 rebounds, 6 assists per game. And it's funny, we go back to Chet Holmgren's debut in the Summer League, right, about a week ago or so, maybe a little bit less than that. Has 6 blocks, a Summer League record, looks absolutely tremendous. Vaults to the top of the odds board in terms of winning Rookie of the Year. But as you can see at some spots, Paolo Banchero, the favorite now to win Rookie of the Year. And you could very much argue that this has been a very impactful two games for Paolo Banchero, and that as he has looked very comfortable in multiple facets, running some of the offense, his passing has really come on strong, it seems, too. But the market kind of shifting here. One big game for Chet Holmgren's fine, but Paolo Banchero has shown some really consistent efforts, and you see Paolo Banchero plus 350 to win Rookie of the Year, right ahead of Chet Holmgren. Jabbar Smith at 4-1, as is Holmgren. Jaden Ivey, who we'll get to momentarily, at 7-1, and then the rest of the guys that we're talking about, Keegan Murray, Benedict Mathurin, Dyson Daniels, and Shaden Sharp. So let's talk about some of the other news that comes out of the Summer League that could impact some of what we're talking about here. In fact, it focuses on Jaden Ivey and Shaden Sharp, both hit with injuries. Ivey goes down after a 3-point attempt in the first quarter. Pistons win over the Wizards on Saturday. Overall, two games worth of action, limited action, but 15 points per 50% shooting. Detroit's leading scorer Thursday night in their opening win over Portland. So, Ivey, I think you've got to be pretty impressed so far. The speed, by the way, I just say, like watching them in person and being here, the speed in person for Ivey, it's legitimate. It is real when you watch him sprint up and down the court. Really impressive to watch right in front of your face. But the Pistons, they play again on Tuesday. Wouldn't really be surprising to see maybe that Ivey is going to be done for the rest of the Summer League. We'll see. He actually tweeted out that it wasn't a really big deal, but we tend to see that some of these teams, hey, a little cautious. You invest a lot in top five picks. And so when you're looking at a guy like Jaden Ivey, if there's a small leak, maybe you see a limit, or maybe we don't see him again. By the way, the Pistons, you got to be impressed. There's a couple of these teams that we have seen over the last couple seasons, and the Pistons are now becoming one of them, that are really good at like spotting out young talent, kind of hoarding it. And Jalen Duren has performed really well. You have other guys on this roster that played really well in two games in the Summer League too. Saben Lee, Braxton Key, some fantastic minutes. So the Pistons, there are a few teams that have looked really impressive up to this point, at least by my own opinion. The Kings have looked really good. I've mentioned the Indiana Pacers. I think you throw the Pistons in there too, and as well, of course, the Orlando Magic, because it hasn't just been Banchero, as Caleb Houston is really good. 43.8% shooting. Most of it, like the catch and shoot attempts have looked a little bit smoother, but Houston has been really good for the Orlando Magic while adding 6 rebounds per game. So Jaden Ivey getting injured, that's a big bit of news coming out of the Summer League. And, of course, Shaden Sharp done for the rest of the Summer League. If you haven't seen these reports, small labrum tear in his left shoulder. He's going to be reevaluated in the next 10 to 14 days. So that has him out for the Portland Trailblazers for the rest of the Summer League. And that kind of stinks. I mean, obviously, you want to see this kid, but this has been the biggest mystery, right? It was the biggest mystery coming into the draft. It's the biggest mystery coming out. Everybody excited to finally see some action. And you do see a little bit in that game against the Pistons, a really tough, like, baseline turnaround jumper that looked really, really nice. And then he has to go to the locker room, and then we don't see him again. So the mystery that is Shaden Sharp, that we have seen in little flashes here and there, and they are flashes of brilliance, let me say. But it's going to have to wait a little bit till we can see more extended action from Sharp, because he is going to be done for the rest of the Summer League. Some other standouts as well, and again, kind of tying these back, because I do think this is important. Like, we're talking about going into next year. We're talking about, again, evaluating some potential rookie of the year candidates as well. Watching how these guys perform. You don't want to take a lot out of Summer League play, but seeing how these guys look really comfortable. One dude that I'm really excited to watch here as we get into some more of these games, we're going to see him later today. Ochai Agbaji has looked really good in that first game. Matt Youmans, of course, my co-host on The Edge, very much an Agbaji fan. 16 points, 5-0 from the floor, 4-9 from 3-point range in his Summer League debut. That is going to be something to watch. The Cavaliers are taking on the Denver Nuggets. Actually, in about an hour and a half, a little bit more than that. Right, actually, behind me here at the Times and Mac Center. So we're going to be able to see that up close and whether Ochai Agbaji is going to continue to perform very well. But that's a really intriguing piece, because I think he fits really well with his ability to play defensively. I mentioned this to Matt the other day. When you talk about the ability to win Rookie of the Year, like Scottie Barnes, for example, one of the things that really pushed Scottie Barnes forward in allowing him to win that award this last year was his ability, not only on offense, but his ability on defense and the way that he looked, I think really swung a lot of voters in his direction. And Evan Mobley did too, but he had some injury issues and a little bit of a slower stretch when we were finishing throughout the regular season, allowing Barnes to surpass him. But Agbaji has that. He's got two-way potential all the way around, I think. And when you're talking about some of the longer shots on the Rookie of the Year board, that's going to be something to circle and to watch here as Agbaji and the Summer League move on, because we're really going to see how much more comfortable he looks. And if he can really start to provide like shooting and scoring on top of fitting really well defensively next to Darius Garland and in that system for Cleveland, you're going to have a legitimate shot. And we should also note, too, and I've said this a lot when we talk about the NBA, like these guys come into this league, they are so like they are so good. They're willing, they're ready to come in day one. You see, it seems year after year, rookie classes get deeper and deeper and deeper. And it's really exciting because, one, if you're a fan of the league, you're excited because there's a lot of young stars that have ability to play and entertain us and play really good basketball for the next few years. But it also makes handicapping some of these markets like a Rookie of the Year pretty intriguing, because when you have such talented players like that and there's so many votes to go around for some of these guys, it's a fascinating thing to keep track of. And Agbaji is going to be one of the many, many young guys that are coming in and going to be vying for that award. So the rest of the day so far, as we look at the schedule, mentioned the Denver Nuggets taking on the Cleveland Cavaliers. Cavs are going to be the forefront of that, and whether Agbaji is going to look really good. We talked about the Golden State Warriors. James Wiseman expected to make his return to basketball activities tonight, so we'll see if that's going to look anything. You know, again, you're not expecting much. You just want to see him out there because we haven't seen him in such a long time. And then we get the later games, too. Minnesota Timberwolves taking on the Memphis Grizzlies. The Grizzlies do have an intriguing roster, although the result was not that great when we saw them the first time a couple of days ago. But Kenneth Lofton has performed somewhat consistently, and then we have the known commodities on this roster as well all the way around. For the Memphis Grizzlies, too, that have performed pretty well. And guys we have seen in games, too, right? Xavier Tillman and other Zaire Williams. So this is the Memphis Grizzlies team, too, that a lot of people had, you would say, expectations for coming into the Summer League, we'll put it that way. But this is a team that is looking to bounce back. And again, really good young talent that you want to watch. And then the nightcap, too, Hornets and Lakers, as when we saw the Lakers for the first time, the result I think it was a little disappointing, considering what some were expecting coming into that matchup and what you saw from an output standpoint as they were blasted by the Suns on Friday night. So that rounds out the rest of the Monday night slate. The Sunday night slate. And Monday is going to be absolutely fantastic, too, as you look ahead to what those games are going to be. Magic and Thunder playing one another. The Thunder's young core has looked just as exciting as you expected when you talk about the bodies that they have on that roster and the potential that that roster has 3-4 years down the road. And we talked about the Magic and how well they have done up to this point, too. And then the late game, I mean, look, the Knicks right now, as we talk about the Summer League and the way that these games are live, they're up 59-24 over the Chicago Bulls. And if you remember before the Summer League started, it was the Knicks who I had circled as one of the three teams to kind of watch as we talk about success in the Summer League format. And it has looked really good so far. And Quentin Grimes has looked very comfortable. At halftime, 18 points, 2 rebounds, 3 assists as the Knicks, again, up really big on the Chicago Bulls. By my math, I got 35 points, but I'm not great at math on the fly so far. So, all right, we have a really good show on tap coming up in the second hour as well. Julian Edlow from DraftKings is going to join here on set. He's here in Vegas, so we'll talk everything NBA. Julian, a fantastic NBA handicapper, had a really good season this past regular season, so it's going to be great to dive into a lot of the aspects of how you handle an offseason in terms of getting ready for the next regular season. And big weekend of the WNBA. It was All-Star game today. So Daniel Alvari, as she usually does at the end of the show, is going to join us, get her thoughts as we head into the second half of the WNBA season. Specifically, the Las Vegas Aces, the dynasty, the dominant team that once was, it kind of fallen off, so we'll see if they have it. It's Hardwood Handicappers live from the NBA Summer League.
Welcome to VSiN's Hardwood Handicappers. Now here's your host, Jonathan Von Tobel.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Thank you. Hey, it's me, Blippi, and this is my best friend, Mika.
Hi, I'm Mika, and this is our brand new podcast,
Blippi and Mika's Road Trip. The Blippi-mobile will take us to amazing places.
Click, click, put your seatbelts on, get ready for a ride. We're gonna have some fun.
We'll explore and listen to the sounds of awesome places like farms, racetracks, and even construction sites.
Follow your ears, what do you hear?
And we'll meet new friends along the way.
They'll teach us awesome new things about the places and things we see and hear.
What did we learn today?
Learning is so cool.
Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip Podcasts on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Harvard Handicappers back live from the Thomas and Mack Center. Special guest at the set, Yaron Weitzman is with us, NBA writer, Fox Sports, also very much worth pimping, author, Tanking to the Top, Philadelphia 76ers, and The Most Audacious Process in the History of Professional Sports. I got the whole thing.
It's a hell of a title.
Yeah, man. It is, right. It's funny, when I was typing it out, I was like, oh yeah, it keeps going. But no, it's a really good, really good book.
You have to fit the process in there.
Yeah.
The book here, I'll give you, now we're off topic, but the book was supposed to be called The Process.
Okay.
And let's just say there may or may not have been a threat end of a lawsuit because a certain Sixer may or may not have a copyright of the name The Process. So we had to change in the last minute. So that's part of the problem.
All right,
there.
Maybe a Troel of sorts.
Well, I don't know what you're saying.
Actually, that's perfect because I wanted to open up with the Philadelphia 76ers. And first off, the latest with Harden. So we get the report opting out, obviously. Team guy, right? Taking a $15 million pay cut. We'll start with that. So he's really taking this $15 million to help out the Philadelphia 76ers, huh?
That's what it would appear to be. Yeah, that is true.
I kind of wanted to spin the, like, there's ways to spin it, right? There's like, hey, man, Harden's a team guy. Everybody looks at him in a pretty negative light, especially after what happened the last few years. So this is really a cool, selfless act. We can also look at the reported details and go, yeah, but there's an opt-out after year one. And so how does that work for him? Because in where we've seen like a Bradley Beal sign a long-term extension, where we saw Kevin Durant sign 4 years, at one point the 1-1 was the norm. And now we're seeing more long-term deals, but this is now the 1-1 for James Harden, who if there's another early loss, the questions are going to start yet again next offseason.
No, it's fair, right? So he can, the 1-1 means he can opt out if he has a great year and gets in shape like everyone. We've seen the narrative and you can poke fun at it, but I do genuinely think he's going to try to attack this offseason in a different sort of way and get in shape. And it's just, again, I feel this as an NBA reporter, forget even playing. Like, it's nice being back to the normal NBA calendar.
Right.
We haven't had this in how many seasons now?
Two and a half.
It's been a crazy setup here. So, and if I feel that as somebody covering the league, I think a player can relate to that too. So I do think we're going to see something different there. And if he has a season, then I'm sure he thinks he can. 100%, he can opt out and get whatever his max or whatever number it is. So that's definitely, like, you know, it's not all benevolence, but he could have also grabbed a higher number and just said, give me the number, or opted into his player option, which he declined. He has a lower number, which allowed them to go get PJ Tucker. Listen, they have PJ Tucker for 3 years and Harden guaranteed for one, so you can poke at it like that and say, is that great? But they're trying to win a championship now, and their team now is much better than it was last year and well-positioned. So as much as we can poke fun and I can, you know, joke and we can make the Rick Rubin jokes in there, which I'm sure you're going to ask me about, and there's always that relationship. And maybe there's, I don't know. The Sixers are in a good position and Harden helped them get there.
So I'm not going to ask about that because we're more about like hardcore basketball, right? So we want the results. See, when you talk about especially big picture, regular season betting and everything, it's more about on the court. So I'll ask you this then. So like, I like what the 76ers did. Like, I like this offseason. I like De'Anthony Melton and P.J. Tucker and Daniel House. And people are making jokes like, hey, 2019 Rockets. But I think this is a team that needed three, like, needed more shooting, needed more defense, and they're adding that in, I think, a couple of these pieces. Rumored to be sniffing around Eric Gordon still, potentially. I started some reports there. Depending on where Durant goes, I think you could talk yourself into being Philly, like, second, third best team in the Eastern Conference, can't you?
Yeah, well, I'll put it more simply. They're going to be a championship contender all year. Like, when you talk about the circle of contenders, and when we enter the playoffs, assuming Embiid's healthy, and that's the biggest thing with the Sixers, they're going to be in the group of, like, yeah, they can win a championship. Why not? And they will probably be disappointed if they don't make the finals, right? I assume that's the goal. The goal is to make the finals. They're going to be disappointed if they don't. They have Embiid is, I don't know, top best player in the NBA, 2-3, whatever it is, right? Whatever your cutoff is. If you have that guy and you have talent around him, you want to make the finals. And I agree with you. I like the moves they made. De'Anthony Melton is going to, they could use some young legs, some bounce, and he's going to give them that. PJ Tucker is an upgrade over George Niang. George Niang was basically their sixth man last year. I like George Niang. That should not, in the playoffs, That should not be the case. PJ Tucker is a better version of that. Yeah, they are much better now than they were last year.
So
I can credit.
If, like, as we look at them right now, and we saw what happened last year, one of the things that always comes up with Harden is, like, postseason performances. And the good performances usually come in, like, either the first game of a series or up comfortably in a series, whatever it is. And there's also just the play of James, like, over the last, like, I'd say half a season. Because I contend that people forget that first year in Brooklyn, that stretch where he was by himself, he was arguably an MVP. And he was playing extremely well. Where do you think Harden is at now with his, like, his level of play? Like, I say he's still a top 25 guy, probably closer to 25 than to 10, but he's still a legitimate player of this league, and I feel like a lot of people forget, like, just how good he can be, especially if guys like Maxey's development is real, which it seems like the case. He's going to be, like, a third or 2A. I think it's a pretty good position for him.
Yeah, I would say, and forget what I think. I mean, Sixers clearly think that he's that guy. I remember at the end of the season talking to a GM of another team, and he said, no, he's easily a top 25 guy. Like, if you get him at $30 million or whatever the number is, I forgot the final number now. That's good value for that. Like, that guy usually gets more. So, yeah, the postseason is definitely a problem, and he's going to have to prove that he can thrive in the postseason, both in terms of how he plays, but also his approach, right? And we've seen that, again, at the end of last year after the game when he's saying the ball, whatever the quote was, the ball never got back to me.
Yeah, never got back to me in the second half of that game, yeah.
Yeah, that just can't happen. And I think he would, I don't know him well. I'm assuming he would say, yeah, that was a ridiculous quote. Maybe I'm wrong, right?
Yeah.
You mentioned Maxey, that's a big part of this too. Like, the Maxey curve will kind of allow, what you're going to try to catch is, you know, if Harden's declining a little bit, Maxey going up, and you can basically have a three-headed monster behind Embiid. And again, the Embiid part is huge here. Like, Harden, we can focus on Harden, but Embiid, when he's healthy, you can argue. I will not argue if you say he's your top, you know, you want to win one game, who you're going with, he's the guy you're going with that game. Like, there's no argument. You can pick other guys, but, like, that's not wrong. Yeah. That's how good he is.
So I want to go around the league for a couple of other topics too, because I really like what Philly did, but there's some interesting things that I think are popping up really. First off, Lillard, so 2-year extension, allegedly signed it here in Vegas, $122 million. And it's going to keep him through 2026.
All good contracts are signed in Vegas.
I'm sure, yes. There are none that have short shelf lives that maybe you want to go back and get rid of about a week or something, or maybe when you wake up the next morning. So my question, I guess, would just be, like, what do you think Lillard sees in Portland? Because there's some really good pieces there, but if the end goal is winning a title, and especially where the Western Conference is the way it's constructed right now, I don't know what the path is there. You know what I mean? Like, they're a good team.
Yeah, I think he's saying that, not that winning a title isn't important, but that's not the sole priority.
Yeah.
And I respect that, right? And there's something to be said. They're going to be good this year, I expect. I'm not saying, like, again, we're talking about circle contenders. They will not be that, but I...
Top six?
Yeah, I mean, well, the West is loaded. You can read off 10 teams and, like, you know, and they all expect to be in the top six. So, you know, obviously some are going to be left out, but Portland's going to be competing for one of those spots, I would expect. I know Shaedon Sharpe got hurt. People there before that loved him. Thought he looked great. We're really excited about him. Going back to Lillard, he's making the bet that this is more important to me, being in one place. And, again, they're taking care of him financially.
Yeah.
He probably could have gotten that contract somewhere else, but he's going to make a lot of money, and he's going to probably have another extension. Like, the money's coming in, so it's, again, not all benevolence. But it's kind of cool to see a guy decide, I'm going to bet on this. And I think it's not that player movement's bad. It's that the idea is there is something to be gained, or players, there is value to a player to staying in a market. Like, you become a legend, it opens up, you remember it in a different sort of way than if you're kind of bouncing around, and that's something. So it doesn't mean guys who leave are bad, it just means that there is value to staying to guys.
Well, it's like Beal, right? Like, I mentioned Beal in passing really quick a couple minutes ago, but, like, I think a lot of people look at a guy like Bradley Beal, like, you can force your way out and go somewhere.
Well, that's one, so he could still force his way out, right?
Yeah, right,
that's the one, that's the big thing.
It's got a no-trade clause, though.
Correct. Well, that just means if I say I want to get out, I'm going to tell you where I'm going.
Yeah.
That's one. That one's make sure no Washington people behind me. But I can't. I don't understand that from the Wizards. I think missed the boat there.
Yeah,
I traded him a couple years ago.
Okay,
that was a mistake.
Yeah. Well, and it's going to be interesting to see what ends up. And it seems like that's the case, because I was asked too. Like, hey, he's got a no trade clause. Why do you do that? And like you said, it's just more like when you want to get out of here, I can tell you where I want to go.
If you're a player, you want to get as much power as you can. So you want to get player options and no trade clause. I mean, no trade clause. No one gets. Who was the last guy to get one? I don't remember. The list is, like Larry Bird. I'm only half kidding, right? So, the Beal thing, I mean, again, the Washington thing is different, because Portland, we're talking about competing, and again, hope Tommy Shepard's not hanging out here. Portland's going to win 45 games, let's say. Like, Washington's, like, they're competing for a 10 seed. That's 33. Yeah. It's a big difference.
Yeah. Well, I say, like, Washington's got a whole bunch of, like, B guys. Like, some good guys. They can perform pretty well. But at the end of the day, it feels healthy. You're competing, like you said, play-in spot at the most there. All right, so I'll ask you this. So with this offseason, that's crazy, right? We have Kevin Durant requesting a trade. Kyrie Irving potentially on the move. We have Rudy Gobert go to Minnesota. We have Atlanta picking up DeJounte Murray. But at the end of the day, we talked about the West. And I keep looking at the West and going, Golden State's going to be, I think, better this year with the young talent. The Clippers are going to be full, you would assume, and I think they're the best team in the Western Conference personally. Nuggets are going to get healthy. All these moves, and I think there's just these teams at the top are still in their own kind of echelon at this point.
Yeah, I would say. Well, we have to see what happens. KD is going to be the yeah. What happens there will obviously determine a lot of this. Like, if he ends up in Phoenix, mm-hmm. like a lot of people think, then they're right there. I agree with you on the those are, to me, the three favorites coming out of the West, for sure. I think those teams are all, each one of them is awesome.
Yeah.
Denver, I think Denver's fantastic. Clippers, again, Golden State. But just as a fan, though, it's still fun seeing, you know, Atlanta's going to be better. Minnesota's going to be better. Like, there are going to be a lot of good teams this year because of some of these deals, and I think that's going to be a lot of fun.
Yep. All right, Yaron Weitzman again, NBA writer, Fox Sports author, tanking to the top. I got the whole title.
That's
first
fine.
Time.
Yeah, yeah, that's
okay, cool. So make sure you check all of that. I really appreciate it, man. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
What are you going to check out right now? Are you going to go watch anything? Or?
I'm going to go get some coffee, actually. I think
okay.
That's
going
right.
to be most... I got almond milk latte over there.
No,
it's actually pretty good with vanilla, so it's solid.
Thank you.
All right, Yaron Weitzman again joining us here on the set here live from the Thomas and Mack Center. We're not done, though. When we come back, we got a lot to get to. Tom Byrne, host Sirius XM, is going to join us in about 20 minutes, get his thoughts on what we've seen up to this point so far. Ed Lowe is going to join us in the second hour, too. On the other side, though, let's talk a little Lakers. Jason Tipp, host for The Volume, of course, is going to join us. We'll talk a little bit about the Lakers and the move around Kyrie. Reports, of course, about what that price could be for Kyrie Irving and what the Lakers are looking for. We'll touch on all of that and more when we come back. It's Harvard Handicappers live from the Summer League at the Thomas and Mack Center.
Welcome to VSiN's Hardwood Handicappers. Now here's your host, Jonathan Von Tobel.
Back here at the Thomas and Mack Center. But before we get to basketball, I want to talk about baseball. Baseball predictions made brighter. Join the Orin in a Ballpark Challenge presented by Blue Moon to compete free for cash all season. In our weekly prediction pools to fight for your share of $62,500 in total cash prizes, head to DraftKings.com/Blue Moon now to join the action. Blue Moon, made brighter. 21 and older only. Terms and conditions and other eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Please drink responsibly. Back at the concourse of the Thomas and Mack Center, NBA Summer League, of course, is the spot here for Harvard Handicappers and VSiN. Got a really good setup here. Awesome to sit around and watch all the great basketball minds walk around. We got some good guests, of course, coming up in 15 minutes. Tom Byrne from SiriusXM Mad Dog Sports Radio is going to join us. Second hour, Julian Nedlow, content specialist over at DraftKings. Good NBA handicap will be with us live on set, and we'll touch on the WNBA with Danielle Alvari, who joins us at the bottom of the last hour. But let's talk a little Los Angeles Lakers. Jason Timpf, who works for The Volume Sports, hosts a podcast for them. He's a Lakers guy, touches on everything in the NBA. But I got to sit down with Jason the other day, and we talked about a lot of things. Born to Play You conversation, of course, not only about the Lakers, what some of these offseason moves, but opening up with Los Angeles and what this is going to look like in terms of trading for Kyrie Irving. The reports continue to come out in terms of what that package might look like here. Some of it revolves around a first-round pick, but here was Timpf the other day.
So there's a combination of things happening. I think the Nets know they can get a first-round pick from the Lakers, and so they're right now, because they know that offer's there, they're going out looking for more and trying to use that to leverage the Lakers into maybe giving that second first-round pick. I've also heard that there's a little bit of an internal dispute over whether or not they should go after Kyrie or they should go after Miles Turner and Buddy Hield. And to be honest, when I saw that, I had to pause for a second.
Right.
Because I'm not entirely sure which way I would go, but I lean slightly towards Kyrie because I think you can manufacture the Miles Turner, Buddy Hield stuff with other lower-level players. There's nothing you can do to replicate what Kyrie Irving can do on a basketball court, especially in a playoff setting. He's a very unique talent in that sense, so I think I'd go the Kyrie route, and I do believe that ends up getting done.
So let me ask you this, though, because one of the things that I've been talking about with Kyrie, which is at this point right now, one of the things you have to take into account is he going to be there? Like, is he going to be there and playing games with whatever reason it is, whether it's what happened last year, he's just kind of fickle has a negative, you know, continuity to it, but you know what I'm talking about. Is will he be there for a majority of these games? Two out of the 3 years he plays, what, 26 games or fewer for the Brooklyn mm-hmm. Nets? What's the trust that this kind of rights the ship a little bit here, and you're going to get, I'd even say, 55-plus games from Kyrie next year?
Here's the deal. You don't know.
Yeah.
You just absolutely have no idea whether or not he's going to be available. But the Lakers do not have the luxury of turning away talent.
Yeah.
You know, I was joking with some people last night. How many NBA starter level players are currently under contract for the Lakers? I say two. LeBron James and Anthony Davis.
The Laker fans I talked to would throw Talen Horton Tucker into that mix.
Yeah, and I would vehemently disagree. So my point is the Lakers are a unique match for Kyrie because they're desperate and they do not have the luxury to turn away talent. And again, all you can hope is that the overwhelming public pressure combined with LeBron James and his ability to manage personalities will be enough to bring the best out of Kyrie. But again, you have to acknowledge the reality that it's a risk. The best indicator of future performance is past performance, and Kyrie has shown us he's unreliable. So if he ends up being unreliable, that just means that came true, which is to be expected.
So let's say they get Kyrie Irving. Where do you put the Los Angeles Lakers in the Western Conference overall?
That's tough. My gut says third. I'd put him behind Golden State and the Clippers. Yeah. I think the Clippers are the biggest team that can threaten Golden State this year. Golden State letting Otto Porter and Gary Payton go as well, I thought was a mistake. Obviously, money was a huge part of that, but you're making yourself weak on the margins with two players that were very important to them there. So the Lakers get into that mix, and they certainly have a puncher's chance, but they just don't have enough NBA-level talent, the rest of the roster around LeBron, Kyrie, and AD, to be like a surefire top-tier contender, if that makes sense.
Right, no, it does. And I think one of the things I think you like, too, is they went in a little different direction in the offseason, right? When you're talking about Juan Toscano-Anderson, Troy Brown Jr., Damian Jones, like you go more athletic, you go a little bit younger. Your depth, I think, kind of feels a little bit better, don't you think, as you move into the regular season?
I do like that vibe. You know, they ditched they've got more defensive-minded players now. You can actually look down the roster and see Troy Brown Jr., you know, Juan Toscano-Anderson, Stanley Johnson, Austin Reeves. These are all defensive-minded players, and I think that'll go a long way to fixing some of the psychological issues that last year's team had. And but the one thing that worries me is they're very young.
Yeah.
And I wonder how much LeBron in year 20
will have patience for it.
Yeah, because again, the entire roster now, Kyrie would be their second old. Like Kyrie is 30, I believe, and he would be his oldest teammate.
Yeah.
So a roster full of guys in their 20s, Kyrie and LeBron, seems like a really interesting mix of personalities.
So what about the change at the top then? You know, a lot of I thought that Frank Vogel got a little bit of unfair flack for everything that went down. I mean, I thought he did a brilliant job with that team defensively, especially the year they won the title. Darvin Ham comes in. What do you expect in terms of a change there?
I loved the Darvin Ham signing. And, you know, obviously there's some X's and O's stuff that I won't get into that is a seamless transition from what they were doing in Milwaukee. But the thing that I like the most about it is LeBron and AD need a coach that resonates with them. And Darvin Ham kind of represents this new iteration of head coaches where it's like former NBA player, but recently, role player, tough guy, you know, like the kind of guy that kind of has like a big personality that can actually look these guys in the face and get them to buy in. You're seeing that with Jason Kidd. You're seeing that with Ime Udoka. You're seeing that with Ty Lue. Like that archetype of coach is starting to have a lot of success in the NBA right now. I thought it was the right move.
Two moves, Minnesota, Atlanta. Which one did you like more and why?
Oh, man. Ugh. I don't love either of them. I think I'd lean slightly towards Gobert because in theory they still have enough perimeter defensive talent to have a functional defense. I'm worried about their depth now, but in theory, in a playoff setting, if Karl Towns is comfortable operating on the perimeter enough, and as long as Rudy Gobert doesn't completely butcher them on offense, I could see their defensive ceiling being raised enough to where it could manifest in a positive outcome for them. But make no mistake, this comes down to Anthony Edwards. Mm-hmm. In his decision-making at the end of games with D'Angelo Russell. That, to me, is the big question. What are they going to do with D'Angelo Russell? Where does he fit in all of this? Because, I mean, the way he played in the postseason last year is kind of to be expected. That's kind of his personality at this point.
And you mentioned something in passing that I think is actually a really important point. Regular season-wise, I think it's going to be successful for Minnesota. But when you in a best-of-seven series against a Clippers team that's playing five out, and they're just going to attack you with dribble penetration and kicking out to open shooters, how they handle that is going to be, I think, something that probably is going to kill him in the end, you know what I mean?
And then you think, like, that's where a Malik Beasley and a Patrick Beverley become that much more valuable. But Jared Vanderbilt was an awesome perimeter wing for them last year. Like, that, I just think that those three together in a playoff series actually bring more value than Rudy Gobert. I know that sounds crazy to say, but make no mistake, they will be a better regular season team. They will finish higher in the standings, and that will be enough, I think, to justify the trade internally.
All right, Jason Timpf again, host Hoops Tonight, and tell everybody where you can find all your work, podcast, and anything else.
Yeah, so Hoops Tonight on the Volumes YouTube channel. You can also find it under our podcast feed under Hoops Tonight, and then you can follow me on Twitter at _JasonLT.
Yeah, Awesome stuff from Timp right there. And I wanted to kind of build on the Lakers stuff too, because obviously when you look at any odds board, the Los Angeles Lakers are going to be pretty high up there, especially out here in Las Vegas, right? This is a faux Lakers town. We're really excited about the Summer League out here, but way back in the day, it shouldn't be way back, but Kings and Lakers games in the preseason were absolutely the nuts, if you want to call it that. A lot of popularity out here for the Los Angeles Lakers. And we know, of course, from a regular season betting standpoint, right? Night game, Los Angeles Lakers, more often than not, is going to be the highest handle game later down the list in terms of if they're playing like 7:30 p.m. Pacific time. But if you look at this from the standpoint of where they're at in the pecking order of the NBA and this potential move, it's where it gets, for me at least, a little dicey. For DraftKings, for example, right now, Los Angeles Lakers 11-1 to win an NBA title. They are right outside of those single-digit shots, right? So you have the Celtics, the Suns, the Clippers, the Warriors, and the Bucks. We're all floating around that 550, 650 range, and those are like decimal points in terms of percentage when you're talking about implied probability and whatnot. But when you look at the Los Angeles Lakers as 11-1 and 8.3% in terms of implied probability, might not seem like that much, but in terms of futures, it is. And especially when you consider them from a power rating standpoint as currently constructed, because this is the thing about the market, right? You look at these numbers and you think 11-1 short. Once the Kyrie Irving thing happens, this is going to get even shorter for the Los Angeles Lakers in terms of their price to win an NBA title. And I think it's a little too short already as it is. It depends on what's going to happen. There was a report today, too, as we're kind of getting this market taking shape for what's going to be the package. According to one report Mark Stein wrote in his latest Substack newsletter, Lakers are going to have to give up one of their future first-round picks. From the article, quote, leak sources maintain that the Nets are focused on trying to assemble palatable Kevin Durant trade before proceeding to Irving's scenario. So it doesn't look like Irving will be on the way out until Kevin Durant finds a new home. And adamant in their resistance to taking back Westbrook in a theoretical Irving swap without some first-round draft compensation added by the Lakers. Remember, the Lakers can trade their 2027 and or their 2029 first-round picks in a trade. Those are the two that are, of course, up for grabs potentially for the Brooklyn Nets. But I just got to say, I mean, they are going to be a good team. But when you talk about power-rated equally and or better than Golden State Warriors, Phoenix Suns, Los Angeles Clippers, that's where, to me, you get a little dicey. And then you even bring in the Eastern Conference teams like Boston, like Milwaukee. And I think, again, from a market standpoint, you're never always getting preseason value on a team like the Lakers just because they're such a public brand. But for you as a bettor, if you're tempted by betting the Los Angeles Lakers, I just don't think you're getting your bang for your buck. And especially if this Irving deal does come down. Because remember, it's 11-1 factors in that they're going to get Irving. But once they officially get him, I'm willing to bet they're going to move in the range of about 8-1, depending on where you shop around. So it's going to be pretty fascinating. All right, well, let's take our break. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Tom Byrne, host Mad Dog Sports Radio. Let's get some of his observations from the early summer league play, what he's seen up to this point, and what he makes of some of these offseason moves. It's Hardwood Handicappers live from the Thomas & Mack Center for NBA Summer League.
VSiN's Hardwood Handicappers. Now here's your host, Jonathan Von Tobel.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, it's me, Flippy, and this is my best friend, Mika.
Hi, I'm Mika, and this is our brand new podcast,
Flippy and Mika's Road Trip. The Blippi-mobile will take us to amazing places.
Click, click, put your seatbelts on, get ready for a ride. We're gonna have some fun.
We'll explore and listen to the sounds of awesome places like farms, racetracks, and even construction sites!
Follow your ears, what do you hear?
And we'll meet new friends along the way!
They'll teach us awesome new things about the places and things we see and hear!
What did we learn today?
Learning is so cool!
Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip Podcasts on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Our specials here, only $19. You get everything VSiN has to offer from now to the end of July. You sign today, you'll get VSiN's daily best bets that include Adam Burks, our baseball writer, analyst extraordinaire, his daily MLB best bets, plus NFL preseason coverage, premium articles on golf, UFC, USFL, and NASCAR. Wes Reynolds has been on fire in golf. If you want the full VSiN experience, features a daily best bets email, every edition of Points Spread Weekly, use of our betting tools, and a live video stream whenever you want. It costs only $19. Be a subscriber through July 31st. Time is wasting. VSiN.com/summer. All right, we are live from the NBA Summer League concourse of the Thomas and Mack Center. You see it. It's popping. Kids taking shots in the Papa Shot. Everybody drinking coffee. It's a good time out here. A lot of basketball people. Let's bring in another basketball person. We'd love to talk to him. Tom Byrne, Sirius XM, right here on – no, he's not on set. Tom, what's going on here? What are you doing, buddy? When are you going to get out here?
I know. I got to get out there. I've never been. Here's something that's going to blow your mind, JVT. I have never once stepped foot in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Out of here, really?
Dead serious. Now, it's probably a good thing. About 15, 20 years ago, I may not have returned. I'm sure I'm not the only person who says that, but I truly mean it. But now, a little bit more mature, a little bit more responsible, I think I'd love it. But now we got the four kids. I don't know if it's a great place to take the four young kids, oldest to seven. So I don't know when I'm going to get out there, long story short, especially with the legalization of sports betting.
Well, let's go. Like a business, conference, whatever it is, yeah, just a little white lie, then get on out here and leave the kids at home for a couple of days. It's fine. We'll hook you up, all right?
Well, Stadium Swim, I know you guys have a relationship, so you don't mind me saying it. That might get me out there alone. That thing is phenomenal.
It is, and it is a great place to hang out, which, by the way, shout out to our folks at Circa, which we are live from the Thomas the Mack Center, but we're broadcasting out of our studio over at Circa. All right, Tom, so let's talk a little bit. So far, have you watched anything in terms of Summer League up to this point? How much do you take in, and have you observed anything from any of these young guns?
Yeah, listen, I don't get too bogged down with the Summer League. The last thing you want to do is put too much emphasis in it, but a couple things that piqued my interest. Number one, Chet Holmgren. I think you and I chopped this up a little bit before. I don't know why people thought he didn't know how to play basketball. I don't know if it's a Gonzaga bias or what it is. I mean, he's a big kid who's got great handle. I don't know if he's going to fill out physically, but they eradicated the physicality a long time ago. They got rid of that. I mean, it's not 1989. It's not 2004. He'll be fine from a weak side defender standpoint. Yeah, Joel Embiid might pick him up and dunk him a couple times, but he only has to play him twice a year, once at home, once on the road. Otherwise, I think he'll be fine. Again, the handle's there. He could shoot from downtown. I get it. There's some bust potential there. The way I look at him, JVT, is that he may have had the highest ceiling of anybody, but also I'm talking about like the top three to five guys, but also maybe the lowest floor. But the idea that Twitter's going off after he actually plays well his first Summer League game, like, did you guys not watch college basketball all year? I don't understand that.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. It's funny. So I opened the show talking about this a little bit. So Twitter freaks out. The betting markets freak out, right? He goes to, and he wasn't, not that he was a long shot, but he immediately shoots up in most spots as the favorite to win Rookie of the Year. Well, we do have a different favorite over at least one shot, but that would be Bet Rivers and others. Paolo Banchero, plus 350 to win Rookie of the Year. Through two games, he has looked really good, Tom, and I've been able to see him in person at least once. And, you know, it's funny because I was one of those that came into the draft process thinking, like, you know, personally, I think I'd rather have Banchero. Like, he looks like he can score at all three levels. He can handle a little bit. He's been running a little bit of the offense out here in Las Vegas. The passing's there. The rebounding's there. The body's already there from an NBA standpoint. Look, it is Summer League, so you don't want to freak out too much. But I thought coming in that the Magic made the right move after they drafted him, and it does seem like that is the case. He looks NBA ready.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, he does. He's a guy who's going to be pretty darn solid. Going back to what I was discussing before, floors and ceilings, I thought he had the highest floor. Like, I'd be shocked if Banchero's a bust. I also don't know if I'm going to sit here and predict any Hall of Fame tributes for the man in the next 20, 30 years. But at the same time, I like Banchero. I will say this. I was a little surprised Jabari Smith, the kid from Auburn, fell to three. I think the Rockets may have gotten very, very lucky because there's a reason this kid forever. Remember now, on June 6th when the odds opened, Banchero was 26-1 to go number one. We all thought it was Jabari Smith, and nobody thought that was a bad decision necessarily. So I think the Rockets made out pretty well. You know, so there were a couple picks in the draft that caught my interest. That was the first one right off the shoot, because I think that kid could end up being better than the two in front of him. But again, Chet Holmgren was the most interesting prospect because that ceiling is high, man. If he figures it out and fills out physically, he's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, and I think Smith is one of those kids that when you see him on a court with, like, you know, like Jalen Green, his game, and how open that floor is going to be, those two together, like, he hasn't got off to the best start out here in Vegas. I think once you get him on the floor, though, with the teammates he's going to be playing with regularly and, like, really good guard play from a Jalen Green type, I think you're going to start to see, like, what everybody expected from one Jabari Smith, you know?
Yeah, 100%. Again, I'd never get too bogged down with who looks great, yep, who does not in summer league. I mean, we could go over a million different examples of guys who played well and then fizzled out pretty quickly in their rookie year. Other guys who seemed lost almost at times in the summer league, but yet by the end of their rookie year appeared to be on the right track, to say the least. So I wouldn't get too bogged down with Jabari Smith. He'll have a game or two here where he starts to shine and Twitter will blow up, say he should have gone number one. It's all about what you've done for me lately. I don't love Jalen Green, but at the same time, he does have potential, and that duo could be an awful lot of fun to watch. Like, the Rockets are going to stink next year. We know that. But if you're passing them on League Pass, you might want to stick around for some time. They're going to be fun.
Yep, they are going to be absolutely fun. Tom Byrne with the Sirius XM. All right, so let's talk about a couple of headlines. We'll tie into some of the stuff that has happened out here in Las Vegas. You know, for example, we get the drama. Russell Westbrook, LeBron James on the same floor together, but they don't talk to one another. It does seem like they, of course, are in the midst of a divorce. But here's the thing, Tom. This has kind of come grinding to a halt here. It does seem one report is just we were talking about it. Nets seem dead set. Mark Stein reports on shipping off Kevin Durant first before they deal with one Kyrie Irving. So as it stands right now, and this has kind of reached this standstill, has one, first off, what was your mindset in terms of where Durant ends up? And two, has it changed at all in that way you kind of reached this point where, hey, look, we got a long offseason. Durant's got a 4-year contract. If I'm Brooklyn, I don't really got to move on this thing.
Yeah, I'm not surprised at all. My prediction right away was this is going to drag on for some time. Number one, he's under contract through 2026. Number two, the Stepien rule. You only get trade but so many picks. And number three, the rookie designated rule, which means that Ben Simmons would likely have to go in any deal. That would include like a Bam Adebayo or a Devin Booker, you name them. So I think it's very tricky. Plus, add on the idea that Utah got 4 first-round picks, plus Walker Kessler, along with some bets like Beverly, the young kid Vanderbilt, and, of course, the athlete Beasley. So I think that only further complicated matters. No way Sean Marks can turn and deal Kevin Durant for anything less than Utah got for Rudy Gobert. So I think this is going to drag out for some time, JVT, and until we see that trade, maybe Kyrie, Russ, but until we see that trade, I think we're going to have a little waiting period here. Like Donovan Mitchell, people think that Utah is pushing back against player empowerment the way the Sixers did with Simmons, the way that the Nets reportedly might do with Durant. I don't think it's that. I think it's they're just waiting because Miami, for example, which could offer a good package, doesn't want to offer any package until they have 100%, you know, sure that they're not going to get Kevin Durant, right? Until they're 100% sure they're not going to get Durant, they're not going to go ahead and make a play for Mitchell. So long story short, it's going to take some time. I'm still leaning toward him being dealt at some point, but I am open to the idea that they might try to see if they could force his hand to come back.
Yeah, this is from Eric Walden, by the way, of the Salt Lake Tribune. Quote, change is inevitable in the NBA, not trying to be cryptic or anything else. Donovan is on our roster. Said the Utah Jazz CEO Danny Ainge, we're trying to build a championship team, but there's no intent to trade him. So that can mean anything, and that can mean at any point someone comes knocking, we could ship him off. So we'll see if that's going to be the case. And again, really long offseason, so that means that a lot of these deals can be made a little bit further down the road. All right, last two minutes here with Tom Byrne. So I'll ask you this, as you're looking at everything overall, when you talk about offseason moves, has anything happened to you that has made you either A, adjust a power rating on a team, or B, I'll be tempted to play a future at this early point of the offseason?
No, not really. Now, number one, admittedly, I'm trying to get the baseball up and going here, and so that's been a big part of the equation. WNBA, too. I'm having some fun with the women for the first time. Long story short, I have not made any future bets. I have plugged in some of the names into the new slots, into the model, but I haven't really punched out anything too significant yet. I'll have some time to do that before too long. But I hate to be boring. Right now, I have not done so. I mean, you know, obviously, you look at Philadelphia. I know you're relatively high on them. Harden was humbled to a great extent in that Miami series. Only played well in the second half of game 4, so he's forced to take $15 million less. You know, if he gets his paperwork in a couple months ago, he's sitting there with the player option, and the Philadelphia 76ers don't look as good. But the DeAnthony Melton trade was a really good one. The P.J. Tucker one will be good for the first year or two. By year three, I'm not so sure. He's 38 years of age, and I'm not going to make a big deal of Daniel House. But I do think that there's some truth to the fact that Philadelphia is probably going to be a little better. Boston's going to be better, which is scary because they just got to the finals. Malcolm Brogdon. Now, they don't like him in Indiana. He personally was tanking. There's no question about it. Never played. But he really improves them. So you're going to have to give Boston the benefit of the doubt in the East. And who knows about Brooklyn right now? So we shall see. As far as the West, Denver gets healthier, JVT. But what to expect from Michael Porter Jr., Jamal Murray? Who in the world knows? You know, Phoenix, did they miss their window of opportunity? Unless they get Kevin Durant, I get a feeling that some guys are going to be a little down on them. So it's going to be interesting. But to answer your question, no, not as of yet.
Tom Burns, SiriusXM. All right, man. Get on out of here. Have a good show today.
All right, JVT, anytime.
Yep, you got it. Good to talk to you, bud. It's Harvard Handicappers live from the NBA Summer League. Come back, second hour of the program.
This is VSiN.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's me, Blippi, and this is my best friend, Mika.
Hi, I'm Mika, and this is our brand new podcast,
Blippi and Mika's Road Trip.
The Blippi-mobile will take us to amazing places.
And we'll meet new friends along the way.
Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.